Ode to Kandel by Aidan Devine. Oh, lovely Kandel, in your hotel room, your beauty is like a flower bloom. Although your loins were like a blooming rose, now I love greenly from head to toe. Still you was in pain, and your heart was broke, for your man Zack, your moody bloke. Thought he was dead, and Moy Greenley too. In each other's arms we fell, and did the do. Now here we are, without our mates, tempted by rugby, violins, and crab cakes. We can't make love. Oh no, we will not. We'll just sleep in the same room. I'll take the cot. Poetry by Aidan Devine. Thank you.
This week on All My Children,
Aidan lays down his detective vibe and reveals to Kandel he's a poetic scribe.
Even Granny's got a gun, and Jesse and Angie are in more danger than ever.
Kandel is attacked by a crazed fan as Greenley dances for Zack because he's the man.
Ryan and Blandy make love. And even I gotta admit, I kinda like it.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm Peter.
Pedro, my co-host for this week. I like to call my regulars like you, Pedro, and Taylor, and Jordan Hudson, Mr. Soap Cyclopedia Hudson. I like to call you my co-hosts. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call you my guest hosts anymore because that's not the case. You are all my co-hosts. As much as you...
as much as we resist it?
As much as you resist it, you are all my co-hosts. Get it? All my children, all my co-hosts.
Oh, I get it. That's nice.
This is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending March 7th, 2008. And I have to say, I like this week on All My Children, but a lot of really sort of like gut-wrenching things happened for me this week. Like, not so much like it was so dramatic, but like things I was really wigged out by seeing.
Like Aidan admitting he's a poet?
Oh my God! I was crying! On Thursday's episode when he started reciting poems, I was crying. I was screaming at the television. Carlos wasn't home and I was like, Carlos, you gotta see this! And then I realized he wasn't there. So I was so bummed because I had to share this with somebody.
Who knew? Who knew Aidan was a poet laureate?
Who knew is right.
He apparently is into English poets.
British. That's right.
British poets.
Right.
And he spent his time in the cafes and pubs of
reciting
England.
Reciting poems. And reviewing sports scores.
I could tell by the way that he recited the poems, it made sense that he went into a career as a detective. Because the depth of verse... not so much.
Well, listen, he was actually reciting people that were like he was not reciting, you know, sort of easy poets. Like, and I don't mean easy, like Shakespeare's like really famous. Like, he wasn't reciting like famous poets. Like, he was reciting like famous poets that like your high school teacher might know, but you would never know. John Donne, right, was one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Keats.
Yeah, he just.
I mean, Keats is pretty famous, but.
He looks so uncomfortable.
He could not. His tongue was like tripping in his mouth.
Like when Kandel was like, oh, you can read? And he's got all indignant.
He was all upset.
And then he's like, I am a poet. And you're...
he looked really uncomfortable, people.
So
I'm sure you all saw it. We were crying. I was crying anyway. I know Pedro enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think I want to start the week, though. I think I want to start with Angie and Jesse. Like, it was funny because not a lot of stuff happened in the beginning of the week for them, but the end of the week, it picked up a little bit. We basically, you know, started the week like we always do with these two, with, you know, Angie telling Jesse he's got to stay put and Jesse telling Angie that he's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to find the bad guys.
Well, there's somebody after him.
There's somebody after him. Who?
Somebody. I don't know. Who's after me?
I don't know.
Do I know?
No.
Neither do I. But I've been on the run for 20 years.
That's right. So he is on the run, but like everybody's trying to keep Jesse put. And you know, people, I have to say, because you people come to me for honest and frank commentary, all right? I love Donna Williams. I love the Jesse and Angie storyline, the JNA, as it were. But I have to say, some of the screaming and yelling is getting a little predictable. That's my only thing with it.
Well, he doesn't know who he's on the run from.
It's true.
So that, I mean, think
that
of
could
how,
be very frustrating.
Think of how emotionally exhausting. Everybody's after you.
Everybody and nobody at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that has got to be frightening.
It's got to be very scary. I agree. Well, at the beginning of the week, Angie basically tells him for like the 82nd time that he has to stay put and he wants to keep running. And then Tad like makes a suggestion that Angie should be like, go do the hunting. And Jesse flips out. And then oddly, and I'm not putting this all together, people, but oddly, Robert Gartner, who we all know, people, is Ray Gartner's brother. And we all know people who Ray Gartner was because our good friend Jordan Hudson, a.k.a. Soapcyclopedia Hudson, gave us a bit of a rundown as to who Ray Gartner was. Now, we all know Ray Gartner raped Ruth Martin. He was Tad's father. He was the husband of Opal, but he was very abusive. He was terrible. He was a horrible man. He was like one of the worst villains that All My Children has ever had. People, he was considered like the lowest of the low. He was considered like kind of like trash. But he basically was like, he talked worse than Crystal. He was like, I'm gonna kill you, son. I'm gonna kill you, Opal Ruth. And this Robert Gartner comes on the scene, and I think it was Tess Mallory, our favorite romance author, who mentioned that she noticed that Robert Gartner is a tad classier. He's got a little class to him.
He cleaned up his act.
He sure did. I mean, he came from pretty awful stock.
It's like My Fair Lady, but My Fair Manny.
I think Aiden would call it Laddie.
Yes.
My Fair Laddie.
My Fair Laddie. And then he'd spit a poetic verse about it.
He sure would.
My Fair Laddie started as a mean, mean daddy. But one day he transformed and found himself
a sugar daddy. I like that. We should help Aiden with his poetry.
I think there should be a write-in campaign.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
Well, actually, we're kind of messing up a little bit because Robert Gardner was never anybody's daddy. But he comes in and he talks to Tad and people. I don't really follow this, but I'm a little confused here. He comes in and Jesse and Angie scoot upstairs. And this is why I love Michael Knight. I love Michael Knight because he handled Mr. Robert Gardner perfectly. Like, he was realistically, you know, suspicious, but he wasn't like, you know, get the hell out of my house or whatever. He was just basically like warning him very clearly in no uncertain terms that he wanted no relationship with this man. So I loved it. So now there's another point, people, and that's the only problem I'm having a little bit with the Jesse and Angie story, Pedro, is it getting a little plotty for me. Mm-hmm. Like, we had so much love and emotion when they first reunited, and now it's getting a little plotty, and it's almost like hard to follow, and I tune out a little bit because it's very like bad guy storyline.
Well, I think you tune out a little bit because they have not identified who's after him, and it's I mean, that's ridiculous.
Unbelievable,
it's
right?
Just boring after you're like, all right, I get it. It's just, it feels like they were spinning their wheels like during the writers' strike.
Right.
You know, like the producers are like, "Well, I don't know. When the writers come back, they'll figure out who it was. But just say somebody for now."
I really wish that they had gone with Jordan Hudson's idea, which was to basically make Angie's father Jesse's torturer.
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been great because it would have been such a strong emotional reason, as opposed to like all this plot, plot, plot of like bad guy that you don't even believe because it's so unrealistic, mm-hmm, in a way. Mm-hmm. And that's just my humble opinion, people. Like, I know that it's very hard to make a man missing for 20 years realistic. You know, I know that that's difficult. So I'm forgiving it for that reason. But I would think there's got to be something a little more. It's got to be a little more there than what they're giving us right now.
Well, because they're not giving us anything.
That's true. He's got a point. And I guess it's that whole timeline thing. We actually talked about that, Pedro, a couple weeks ago. But I think it's that whole timeline thing where you got to stretch stuff out, you know what I'm saying? To mm-hmm. kind of make it last, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Robert Gartner bumps into Crystal, who is looking good, people. She got that short little sexy bob. I am liking it. It makes her look a little bit older, I must admit. But I'm liking it. I think she looks really sexy. I don't know, people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think our fans are a little mixed on Quack. That's Crystal with a K, Pedro.
Quack?
Quack.
Huh.
Crystal with a K.
Hmm.
You don't like that?
That's nice.
I like it, right? I think our fans are a little mixed. I, myself, am a fan. I'm not a fan of Crystal with Tad because they have no chemistry. They have no spark. And they would be the first people, I think, to admit it. So Crystal bumps into Robert Gardner. And I think that she basically tells him he could come over or something. I don't know. Like, because, all right, because he ends up, people, back at Crystal's house. And she's expecting him and she lets him in. So I'm a little confused about that, people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So Crystal lets Robert Gardner come over. And we see Opal playing with the beautiful baby Jenny. Now, people, I am loving me some baby Jenny. Baby Jenny is the best actress on the soap right now.
She is. She's killing it.
Without a doubt.
If there was an act-off between baby Jenny and Aiden,
she would win hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down. Anyway, we see her playing. And baby Jenny looks like Tad. She's got his brown hair. She's got his full face. She's got his chubby cheeks. Because unfortunately, Mr. Tad Martin got some chubby cheeks now. That man used to be sculpted, people. Michael Knight used to be beautiful. I loved him. I wanted to be his woman forever.
Hmm.
It's true.
That's great.
Anyhow, so Opal realizes who he is, and she tells him to slither out the hole he came from because she remembers, all right? She remembers Ray Gardner, who was her husband. Now, she has this crazy-ass response to him, right? Now, somehow, Robert Gardner, classy Robert Gardner, wins her over. He tells her about how he was the victim also, too, of Ray Gardner because he's trying to assure them that he's a good guy. So he says, "Now, I understand, Opal, that you might be afraid of me, but I can assure you that I was the victim myself of Ray Gardner's terror. Why, in fact, I've got cigarette butts burns all over my wrist." Because, you know, he doesn't really speak with a southern accent.
Right.
And then he shows his wrist. It's got, like, all these burns and stuff. And Opal is suckered. Immediately suckered.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Oh, well, that's just terrible, Robert Gardner. Why don't you come on? Let's have some dinner. Why don't you sit down and have some dinner? You know what? Matter of fact, why don't you hold baby Jenny? You hold baby Jenny." So he holds baby Jenny. That devil in disguise holds baby Jenny. And he gets some devilish looks in his eye, too. That's danger. Mm-hmm. Why does all my children always make the baby the target?
I don't know.
That's nasty. They always got to be victimizing babies. That is not right, people. Babies are innocent creatures. They should not be the targets. Aiden should be. Anyhow, so, oh, did you hear Opal apologizing for tarring Robert Gardner with the same brush that she tars Ray Gardner?
That's a good line.
She gets the best lines.
That is a good one.
She gets the absolute best lines. So, and what I loved about these scenes, people, if you notice, baby Jenny got fussy during these scenes, and Jill Larson as Opal handled it beautifully. Beautifully. She, like, soothed baby Jenny, and she rubbed her, she gave her a little passy, then she gave her her bottle. I mean, it was perfect. She handled it perfect. And when Opal goes to have baby Jenny to Robert Gardner, Crystal is all for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, "Oh, come on now. You can hold baby Jenny. You're kin." I thought it was cute. Anyway, I thought it was funny. So Opal and them have a glass of wine, and Crystal has a glass of wine. And we hear all this backstory about Robert Gardner, people. I'm not, like, into it very much. I don't know. It's like, and then it's so contrived because, like, Opal pulls out the newspaper, and it's Jesse's picture on the cover, and it's also Remington's picture on the cover. And now people, like, the day before, they recap the story. As you know, people, basically what happened was Jesse was shot when he took a bullet for Remington, okay? And then Jesse got tortured, and then Remington dated Angie, and then he disappeared. So we know all that. Opal has diarrhea of the mouth and starts to share all of this love story about Jesse and Angie with Robert Gardner. And it's ridiculous. And Tad comes in and he's pissed. He's like, "What are you doing in my house?" He is pissed. So he leaves because he gets the call from Jesse and Angie and blah, blah, blah. So he leaves and Robert Gardner actually stays, has dinner, hustles out when he gets word from his posse. And then we see Tad meet Angela and they execute their plan. Now, Angie and Frankie have been working at the hospital together, which is really nice. I like it. And Jesse sneaks in. That's when Jesse sneaks into the hospital. He scares the heck out of Angie. And I hate when they do this. It's so stupid, Pedro. Don't you hate when they, like, they'll show someone putting their hand over, like, the character's mouth. And then they cut, and you think it's, like, the bad guy. But mm-hmm. it's not. The first time, someone put their hands over Angie's mouth, and it was Jesse. Duh, stupid. And then the next day, someone puts their hands over Jesse's mouth, and then it turns out to be Frankie. Duh, stupid.
Well, they get a gag, and they're going to work it.
They do work it, let me tell you. Well, anyway, Angie and Jesse decide that Angie is going to go look for Remington's mother, right? Because, I don't know, she's got some answers or something like that. So she goes to see Remington's mother, and she looks beautiful, people. She goes with Tad, and Tad orders Jesse to stay at his place. She looks beautiful in this cream color, beautiful coat, these big earrings. She is looking so beautiful, people. I love it. She goes with Tad. Jesse's at home. And then when Jesse goes to leave, as we know, Frankie grabs him. And Frankie tries to keep him there. And they start yelling at each other, people.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie's like, "You can't leave, Dad." And Jesse's like, "Son, I gotta go. Your mother's in trouble. I gotta do something." And they scream at each other for like a half hour. But then Frankie brings it down, you know. Like, he says, he tells him a story about how when he, you know, he was in a fog when he was a little kid after Jesse died. And then he, like, you know, he realized one day that Jesse was actually dead when the teacher said something to him. And he cried for days and days and days. And that's when it hit him. And that's when he realized that he really lost his father. And so he doesn't want to lose his father again. So he kind of puts a halt on Jesse. I was very happy to see that.
Well, the part, too, about how he, you know, never played any sports. And he was mad at his father for not playing sports. And then he's playing pinball. And he messes up at pinball. And then him and his father work it out. And then his father's giving him tips on pinball. I mean, come on.
I liked it, Pedro.
Come on.
I bought a hook, line, and sinker. Boop, boop, boop.
A monkey can figure out how to play pinball. You don't need... I mean, I could understand baseball or something. But
I liked it. I thought it was a touching moment.
It's like, you know, listen. Just, you see the ball? When the ball comes near the bumper, hit the bumper.
I thought it was touching. I liked it.
I do think those two connect. They do well.
They do well together, people. There is no doubt about it. So then, meanwhile, Angie is out talking to Mrs. Remington, and Angie don't do a good job. She introduces herself right away, and Mrs. Remington is like, You broke my son's heart.
That wig she's wearing.
That wig was a bad wig.
Bright white.
It was bright silver, didn't you think?
Yeah, it's like a silver.
It was like silver. It was like blue silver.
Yeah.
You talk about blue hair.
Yeah.
She's a blue hair.
Yeah.
But she was so cute, people. I loved her. She was really cute. I loved her especially when she saw right through Angela Hubbard. She said, "You want something from me, and you're not gonna get it. My son left me this gun to use if I should have any trouble from people like you." So she pulls out, people, a rifle that she could barely hold. It was, like, taller than she was. It was amazing. I loved it. So then Angela's like, "Oh, Mrs. Remington." So Tad goes to the door. Angie comes out with Mrs. Remington with the gun. And Tad is on the phone with Jesse. And he realizes that he's got to take care of this. So he goes and he handles her like butter. Mm-hmm. Like nothing. He tells her how he knows how she feels, how he lost his wife to a murderer, and blah, blah, blah. So then they have a nice little scene with Mrs. Remington. They talk to Mrs. Remington, and she says how, you know, her son died and how he left her money before he died, and he left her a beautiful necklace, and she shows it to them. It's just really pretty, like quartz stone or whatever. And she also tells them that her home was broken into after Remington was killed. So, or in the period after he disappeared, because what happened was he disappeared on her. She didn't know that he died. He just disappeared. And she thought it was Angie that did it.
Meanwhile, this is 19 years ago.
You remember the ones you love, Pedro. You remember every detail.
Of course.
Anyway, long story short, we have them leave after they get all this information from Mrs. Remington. But Tad knows. He's no dummy, because there's been someone staked out watching him and Angie the whole time. One of Robert Gardner's posse. Now, meanwhile, back or at Tad's place, we have Jesse and Frankie playing pinball still. And they go to leave. Dumbass Jesse goes to leave. And as soon as he opens the door, who's standing there? Robert Gardner.
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. So we will see, people, what happens next week.
Maybe we'll get some answers on the who.
I don't
don't know that we're going to get
the
any
who,
answers.
The what, the when, know. The how.
I hope so, people. I don't love it because I need like, the thing about Jesse and Angie was they had these beautiful real storylines, like these warm, beautiful real storylines. And if we have to do this whole detective read, you know, Cladumbo stuff for another 6 months, I'm going to be very bored. I need to see some love and distress.
I think they have shifted. The Cladumbo storylines are now about love because he's a poet. And, you know, Jesse and, you know, the whole family there is about detective stuff.
You want to talk about Cladumbo and Kendall?
I don't really know what to say.
He's speechless, people. Actually, Aiden says so much this week that we don't really have to say much.
Well, he talked a lot. I mean, I just couldn't understand him.
In couplets.
In couplets. I mean, I feel like we've covered... what is there to say?
Well, we could talk a little bit about Kendall being almost raped, which was really weird and creepy.
That was weird.
It was weird. The Star Trek guy was like, I want you to take off your robe, Kendall. I'd like you much better out of that robe. It was, like, really creepy.
Yeah.
She eventually gets the better of him, of course. She don't need no help from no Cladumbo because she reads his book to him, the sexy passages, and she catches him off guard, and then she whacks him with her 300-page tomb, and he and he falls to the floor, and then she realizes she got pepper spray in her bag, so she pepper sprays the hell out of him. It's like a 10 minutes worth of pepper spray. And then finally Cladumbo comes in, and He kicks the guy's butt, you know. It was pretty, I don't know. But like, there were so many times that I felt like she could have just screamed or kicked or thrashed or whatever. But whatever. You know how it had to work out, so whatever. So then what pissed me off most about this storyline, people, which I cannot fathom and which feels so contrived to me, is the fact that she did not tell Zach.
Mm-hmm.
She did not tell her husband she was almost raped in that hotel room. And that don't make no sense to me.
Well, she didn't want to worry him.
That is pathetic. That is pathetic.
Mm.
Why the hell you be married then? That's in the job description. If someone tries to rape you, then you tell your man or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
in the book.
It's true.
You know, like it's unfathomable to me. And the other thing is that was a really violent thing that happened to her. All right, I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, people, but that's like a crazy ass thing to happen to somebody. You're in a hotel room and you walk out and there is a crazy man, because he would have absolutely raped her without a doubt. And so I feel like there should have been some, you know, she was in this book signing in this dress like nothing ever happened. And then she's flirting with Aiden like nothing happened. I mean, she had nightmares that night, people, but... Which also pissed me off, because instead of calling her husband, she did call her husband, okay? She called home and Zach wasn't there, but she talks to Spike, and that was a really nice moment. Mm-hmm. She talked to Spike on the cell phone, and for the first time, Spike could hear her on the cell phone, which was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really beautiful. It was really nice, and she did such a beautiful job with that. But then she has Aiden sleep over. Now, I know, people, she didn't have sex with him. She didn't do nothing with him. He just slept in a couch, but I mean... Zach would have gotten in a plane that second. He's got a private plane. He would have hopped on that plane and been with his lady.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
He could have held her all night. And she didn't do that.
What was he really doing at home?
He was dancing on a pole with Greenlee.
Mm-hmm.
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 So there you go. Mm-hmm. That's messed up. There's a lot of messed up stuff going on, people. The first time she talks to Zach is when she calls her mom, because she's worried because Aiden tells her that Erica's going to jail. So she calls her mom, and Zach answered, and she's pissed. She's like, where's my mother? Why are you answering the phone? So I didn't get that, but whatever. It's a little boring stuff here, people. I don't know how worth it is to review all this stuff. I mean, basically, there's little things that happen in between this, too. Ryan calls her at one point and says he remembers, and we'll talk about Mr. Ryan Lavery, whose storyline I happen to like. She goes to the book signing. She signs away. This is where she takes a break and she sees Aiden reading John Donne. Because he got upset. Because like Pedro said, he got all upset because she made a comment that he couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
So he was all upset. So she asks him what he's reading, and he tells her, he recites to her. And he recites something like this. I cannot bow fair and brown to her, but whom abundance melts, to her whom want betrays.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It's gorgeous, right? It was absolutely beautiful. I was screaming. I loved it. I was cracking up. So
And then Kendall goes back to book signing, and Zach does call, or actually Aiden calls Zach to kind of fill him in on how everything's going. I don't know, one of the people, they call each other. And Aiden does kind of reveal that something happened, but he doesn't really expand on it, you know, and he assures Zach that Kendall is safe, but, you know, he might not actually be, because we got Mr. Ryan Lavery getting some ideas in his head. Now, we will switch briefly into Mr. Ryan. Now, basically, Mr. Ryan has confronted Blandy at the casino, okay? And Blandy is hating on Ryan. She is screaming and hating on him. And she keeps yelling at him because, you know, he looks at her, but he sees Kendall and he doesn't remember her and blah, blah, blah. And I'm, like I said, people, I'm not on her side on this. Her husband lost his memory. It's like a medical condition that he can't help. She's got to be there with him 24/7, and she got to be drumming stuff in his head. You know what I'm saying? She can't just be sitting back and getting mad at him and like going out on dates and stuff and expecting that he's going to come running to her. No way. He doesn't remember her. But instead, she bitches and rants, and he falls for it. He kisses her. So then they go and they make love, people. Mm-hmm. Pedro like that. She's wearing that gold dress.
And what was interesting is Ryan, there was not a hair to be found on that man.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have no body hair. He's perfectly golden bronze from the Nivea Gold Lotion that he uses. And he has no body hair. But what I did like, people, here's what I'm going to tell you. For the first time, I did not fall asleep during the lovemaking session. Usually, I use the time that Ryan and Blandy make love. I go make a sandwich, you know. Mm-hmm. I pay some bills. Mm-hmm. You know, take a little nap. It's a brilliant time to nap. They put you right out. Mm-hmm. It is better than the best prescription sleeping pill, I'm telling you right now.
That's right.
Today, or last week, I didn't feel that way. Hmm. Blandy looked beautiful. She looked really beautiful. And they did this kind of cool thing with, like, the blinds where you could kind of see through the blinds. It was kind of like you were kind of, like, peeping on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I kind of liked it. Mm. It was a little bit sexy, people. Maybe it was because they didn't really know each other, I thought. So it was a little hotter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It wasn't like mom and dad making love. Oh. You know what I'm saying? It was like two sexy people, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, a little dangerous. Mm-hmm. I still am not a Blandy fan, people. But I like those scenes. They were kind of romantic and sexy. So anyway, she has a great body, too, people. Even though she shuffles her feet, she got a great body. So what's kind of messed up about this, though, is that their lovemaking doesn't kick his memory into Blandy. It kicks his memory back to Kendall. He remembers like an additional thing with Kendall, and he lies to Blandy. I think he says he remembers brushing her hair or something like that, and she gets so excited. And people, this is where Melissa Claire Egan is really strong. She was really cute, I have to say, as Annie, you know, getting really excited that Ryan remembered her. And he really did it. He was doing push-ups and waiting for more, trying to get like more memories back in. And that was when he called Kendall, and he starts waiting, you know, waiting for her to call back. He starts doing more and more push-ups and stuff. And he decides that he can't wait anymore. So he gonna go to LA.
He's off to LA.
He goes to LA. And here's where it gets creepy, people. He gets there and he greets the hotel clerk. Angelina, she was a little goofy for my taste. She had like a little bit of a goofy look, but she was fine. And there's all these like warnings on Kendall's profile, like that she doesn't want to be disturbed and all that. So she don't let him in. But she gets a call, of course, and she leaves. And on the desk, there's Ryan, of course, goes behind the desk. And on the desk, there's like a warning, a Ryan warning. So she comes back and she sees him, and she's all like, you know, what are you doing back here? What are you doing? And Ryan kind of talks his way out of it. And then he insists on seeing Kendall, and she insists that she can't let him up. And at one point, it almost looks like Ryan is threatening her, like stalking. Mm-hmm. Somehow he talks his way up into that room. Mm-hmm. He gets into that room, and Miss Skinny 92-pound Kendall Hart is playing like football, like, which is like soccer to us, with Aiden using a pillow and in gold strap high heels.
Well, no, I mean, that, if you're going to play a sport, that's what you would play a sport in.
Her husband is calling her on the other line. She doesn't answer. Her phone is off, and she's playing in the hotel room with Ryan. Mm. And he's also, people, brought her a meal with violins and champagne and stuff. And he claims he didn't buy it, that the hotel just thought maybe because she was a romance author that she would like romantic things like this. But it is insane. They end up giggling and laughing because they're having so much fun that they end up on a bed rolling around in it. And that's when Ryan walks in.
That was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny, but it makes me crazy, though, a little. It's like, why are TPTB, the powers that be, forcing this dumbass storyline? Why?
The storyline with Aiden and
Kendall? With Aiden and Kendall. And I know for a fact, well, I don't know for a fact, but I believe for a fact that Miss Alicia Minshew cannot be enjoying having to spend all this time with Cladumbo.
You mean Pomumbo.
You got to come up with a better name, yeah, Pedro. We're going to think about that. So, yeah. So that part of the story is really annoying to me. Just having to watch them so much drives me crazy. I'm liking Miss Greenlee, though. She's returning to her roots. She's jealous of Blandy and Ryan.
I think that's funny.
That is funny. I like it.
I like that Ryan remembers Kendall but doesn't remember her, and it's driving her crazy.
And it's driving Greenlee nuts.
That's such a good storyline with, like, Zach, with Ryan getting in between Zach and Kendall. I don't know why you need that whole Aiden thing in there.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. It's like I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I was peeking on my MySpace before I started, and I saw on Super Poster's blog that there was a little bit of a questionnaire about Aiden being a leading man. So, and I haven't read it yet, so I have to read it. But I would love to know your people's thoughts on that too, because I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like I'm on an island because all I see is Aiden. Somebody must be liking him out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not enjoying him at all. I don't think he's a good actor. I think someone I had read somewhere that they loved, you know, Kendall Alicia's scenes with Aiden Turner, the actor that plays Aiden, because she is so good that she actually makes him appear interesting. Which is true, but I can't. It's just not, you know, they're all so good. They are all at the top of their game. Cameron Matheson, Alicia Minshew, Rebecca Budig, Torsten Kay, they're at the top of their game, and then they've got this dead weight in Aiden Turner. And I'm sorry, that's how I feel, people. You agree?
Yeah, I don't think his acting chops are...
He's among all those people in a major storyline, and he's just not...
If you could actually understand him, it would be a huge step forward. But he starts talking and you cannot.
You really can't.
You can't understand him.
And poor Rebecca's got to act opposite him. But, you know, they haven't had much time alone on screen. And I think that's quite on purpose. But back to Greenlee, she's all mad because, as we know from last week, she, you know, tried to make out with Ryan to get him to remember. And he didn't remember. And she comes to Zach's casino, right? Because she has seen Ryan flirting with Blandy. And she asks him to go to Paris with her and have cheesecake. And he's like, all right, I'll go. All right, I'll go. And I don't get it. So then she's like, well, first I have to do work at Fusion. So she goes to work. And then I'm like creeped out because, okay, I get that they're good friends. But she asks him to do things that you only do with a boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? And he kind of doesn't seem to wince. Like, he doesn't seem to phase him at all. So they go back to Fusion and she tells him to turn off the lights in like the kitchen or whatever it is, the break room. So he goes over there and he sees the poles. So what does she do, people? She asks him to dance on a pole. She told him that he promised her that if they made it out alive, she had three wishes or something, that he would do three things for her. So she gets him to rotate on the pole, and I'm screaming. I'm so grossed out, and I'm sure even Torsten Kay is, like, freaked out by this because it's so not in his character's character to do this stuff. Zach is the manliest man, I think, one of the manliest men to ever appear on daytime television, so he is not feeling good about this. And so Greenlee shows him how it's done, and she takes this turn, right? And then she has a sort of sexy brush with Zach. She, like, rotates on it, and he kind of catches her, and their noses kind of touch. And they look at each other real sexy for a second. And people, okay, on one level, I love the chemistry. But on another, it was so crazy to me because it was like such an intimate moment. And they were both really, even in that intimate moment, they were cheating. You know what I'm saying?
It's an Eskimo kiss.
It was a cheating Eskimo kiss. That was infidelity. You don't think so?
in an igloo, it would definitely be infidelity.
But listen, people, I'm glad that I feel this way because that means these actors are so good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That I'm like really freaked out by the fact that one might be cheating on the other. And, you know, I don't know, people. I was really like, oh, it just was like, it just felt wrong, you know? So anyway, she's pushing really hard though on Zach. And he is not like, you would think that he would be less accommodating or that he would know. Like, she's manipulating a little bit here, people. So anyway, the next day, they all go to work at Fusion. And then they have this whole thing, Pedro, you remember this, where apparently Kendall has set up some interviews with people. And all these ridiculous women come to interview for this job. And this is where I hate all my children. This is where I hate it. Mm-hmm. They pick these people that are so obviously not qualified for these jobs. They pick one girl who's like got piercing. She's listening to an iPod. She's like nuts. Not that that would not qualify you for a job, but she was clearly disrespectful when she came into the room. Then there was this other girl who was British who makes nasty lists of things everybody does wrong in the office. And it's like, clearly you're not going to hire her. And then another girl comes in who's an actress who gives them the headshot. It's like, number one, who is screening out these candidates, Pedro?
Mm-hmm. It was funny, but it was a little over the top.
It was so over the top, it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is Fusion. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is supposed to be one of the best, most innovative, most new, most up-and-coming companies in the world. You would have the best qualified people coming in for these jobs, and you had crappy people, dumb people coming in for these jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like it insults our intelligence. I think it would be funnier if it was more realistic. If mm-hmm. you had people that were just a little off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the guy in that commercial, who's like, hey, Mr. Dumbass, I've got lots of qualifications, Mr. Dumbass. And the guy goes, that's Dumas.
Yes.
That was a good commercial.
It is.
Pedro's looking at me like I'm crazy. Why you gotta be looking at me like that, Pedro?
I'm not.
Ayo. Anyway, it was dumb. And it was also, people, listen, it was also another mark against women, if you ask me. Another insult to women. And then Amanda's all sexed up, which I like. I love our little Chrishell Stouts because she's not getting any and she's all sexed up. But she looked beautiful. And then Blandy walks in. She's all happy and she just spent the night with Ryan. She's all, you know, glowing. And Greenlee gets jealous again. So then she goes out to see Zach and she's like, me. Nobody remembers me. Blah, blah, blah. I hate Kendall. Blah, blah, blah. Just silly. She told Zach about kissing Ryan. Mm-hmm. She slipped. It was so funny. And then they talk about how they talk about things to each other that they don't tell their partners. Mm-hmm. Messed up. Mm-hmm. Too messed up for me. I got two things to say. Babe and JR. I'm liking it. I'm still not liking Miss Amanda Baker. I still think she's annoying. And whiny. She keeps whining to JR about how he's a drunk. JR keeps defending himself. But I'm really liking Jacob Young's portrayal. Really liking it, people. I think he's doing a good job. He's trying to convince everybody that he's not a drunk. He tries to convince her. He cries to her. And she cries to him a little bit. But whatever. She ends up leaving anyway. And he goes to the hospital. Colby sees him and takes him to the hospital because he's got his crazy fever. But then you got Richie on the same end. He's like half dead, people. And I looked this up. He has got to spend at least 10 to 20 days in the hospital at least. And then he's got like 6 months to a year recuperation. And in that 10 to 20 days, he can't be exposed to no germs, no nothing. Because his physical being, he had to have chemotherapy prior to the bone marrow transplant. So he had to be like wiped out of everything. So I don't know, people. That part of it is really hard to stomach. And plus, Richie is threatening everybody in the book. He has threatened his doctor. He has threatened the prostitute. My call is that prostitute that he threatened is going to go back to JR and say, we framed you. That's what I'm thinking. Because nobody else is catching on. Even Dr. Joe didn't catch on when JR came in with 103 degree fever. That something was terribly wrong.
I like the whole thing. I mean, him having his bone marrow stolen and then he's walking around and being set up. It's a little plotty, but it's kind of interesting that they've done a really good job of making, you know, he's like the boy that cried wolf, you know? Yes. And now he's got to go out and prove that he's had his bone marrow stolen, which I got to tell you, you know, I've had a wallet stolen. I've had a car stolen, but bone marrow, I mean, that...
That takes the cake.
You are feeling it.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's not like... You can't call up, you know, Aflac and be like, yo, I need some of my... I got my bone marrow stolen and I need some replacement. I mean, that's rough.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, we will see. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. I kind of feel like I want to see him back with Babe now, though. That's how it's making me feel, this whole storyline.
Well, we'll see.
He's good when he's with her. That's why. He's very complex and very, like, he's really interesting to me when he's with her.
Yeah. That storyline could get back on track.
When he's really purely evil, boring. Completely boring. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's, like, shades of gray, but, like, really loving too, trying to, like, does the wrong thing, trying to do the right thing, that's when I love JR. That's when I love him. I am not very fascinated by the Erica storyline, people. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Well, it's Martha Stewart.
It's going to get better. It is Martha Stewart, but it's going to get better because my favorite sister actress, Miss Elizabeth Rodriguez, is coming to the show March 13th, I think. She's awesome. She is my favorite Latina actress. She is so, so good. She is going to be helping Erica Kane in prison. She's going to be like the sassy Latin, you know, sidekick for like 6 weeks. It's going to be awesome, people. Anyway, Erica Kane is going to prison. She throws a press conference to tell everybody that she's going to prison.
I think that's interesting. I mean, there could be something there that she's all excited and then she's gonna be awoken in prison. But they make Erica Kane has like lost all her teeth. You know what I mean? She used to be the most baddest woman on the planet.
You're right.
Now she's just kind of like a slightly crazy. Like, they don't know what to do with her.
I think you might be right, Pedro. That is very astute.
It is astute.
That is really astute.
It is astute.
I think you're absolutely right. I think even this storyline, like, well, what I do like about it is that she's taking it as a total opportunity, number one, to give the middle finger to Sam Woods because it doesn't give him this big, long trial that he wants. And number two... It gives her an opportunity to find out about other women in jail and then talk about them on New Beginnings. She's gonna have like 100 New Beginnings interviews lined up after she's back from prison.
Maybe that's the whole New Beginnings thing is...
That always irked you, Pedro.
That New Beginnings should be a brand new ending. I mean, that thing is so boring. It's, I don't know, I hate it. It's like a fake show within a show.
Fake, yeah.
It's like she was so much better when she was like this cosmetic mogul. Like, just stick to that.
I agree with that. But there's so many cosmetics companies now. It's like Erica has to have her own thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I did love how dramatic she made it with the press conference and stuff. And then people ask her all these questions that she don't even answer in the press conference, which I thought was kind of funny. But we did have a moment where Jack quit on her, which is good. I would quit her too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it means we have to see less of Jack, which is good.
That breaks my heart. Jack is my favorite.
Is that really true?
Yeah, I love Jack. I'll tell you, because when he acts, if you watch his eyebrows, he's an eyebrow actor.
He's a head actor.
Yeah,
moves
his
whole head.
He really will sell a line with great importance.
Absolutely.
With some eyebrows, and like he'll emphasize kind of the wrong points in the sentence.
Yep.
You know, and I enjoy that. He really gives it his all, and it's not quite right, but it still makes me happy.
I wasn't quite sure where it was going, though, when Sam Woods was invited to Adam Chandler's house. I'm not really sure what Adam's up to. I mean, he basically tells Sam Woods that he's going to help Sam Woods with the Senate campaign. But then Colby, of course, it's the perfect opportunity for Colby to walk in with Dre, who we know is Sam Woods' son, who hates him because he feels that his father exploited his mother when his mother died in 9/11.
Do you think Mario Van Peebles is sitting there thinking, like, what have I gotten myself into?
I don't know. I'm fascinated by that myself.
Because
man was in Juice. Wasn't he in Juice? The movie Juice?
Yes. I feel like he's got to be sitting there with Adam Chandler. That's the only time. Adam Chandler, it just seems so stagey.
Yeah.
He's like all those awkward pauses. And Mario Van Peebles was just chilling.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know either, Pedro. All I know is I wrote at the bottom of my page of notes, "This is dumb!" !
And that tie. He had a bad tie on.
I didn't notice the tie.
It's bright, bright pink.
Oh, people, we've run out of things to discuss. Maybe you can help us with our discussion. You can help move the discussion along, if you will, by providing your own insight. You can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can just go to our website and find links to all that stuff and more, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I also forgot to mention our good friend Superposter, whose blog I mentioned. You can go to his space by going to www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. So go to his site, because he is awesome and he has lots of great resources as well. Pedro, I am so happy you were with us this week.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Thank you for being here.
It was my pleasure. You promised a new pair of sandals.
I said socks, not sandals, socks.
I thought I was going to get some sandals.
I cannot be affording no new Birkenstock sandals. You got to be buying your own. And next time, get a pair of sandals that has a closed toe, please. You in New York City.
Okay.
Thanks again for listening, and here's a little something just for you.
Whispered, I'm too young, and then I'm old enough. Wherefore I threw a penny to find out if I might love. Go and love, young man, if the lady be young and fair. Ah, penny, brown penny, brown penny. I'm looped in the loops of her hair. Oh, love is a crooked thing. There's nobody wise enough to find out all that is in it. For he would be thinking of love till the stars had run away and the shadows eaten the moon. Ah, penny, brown penny, brown penny. One cannot begin it too soon.